Today on Real Radio.
Okay, if you agree or disagree, it doesn't matter. The fact is, they are the children of promise. God's not done with the nation of Israel. They're still His chosen people. He's not done with them. He's going to use them again.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Now, we're in chapter 14, which records another conflict between the men of Israel and their ancient enemies, the Philistines. Now, this part of Scripture gives us yet another lesson in faith. In fact, as Pastor Jack points out, these verses point out the differences between the faith of Jonathan and the faith of his father Saul. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson taken from 1 Samuel chapter 14. It's a study called Faith, Jonathan versus Saul.
You find honey and honeycombs and you've got to contend with the bees to get to the honey. God lays out honey on the ground. Listen, this is more than just a coincidence of honey being on the ground. Do you see what's going on? God is resisting Saul now. Saul makes this stupid vow. And a curse. Nobody eats until my enemies are all dead. So what does God do? Hey, Gabriel, Michael, spread some honey out on the ground. It's as though heaven is against Saul now. Perhaps it is. And so as the people come, they begin to eat. It says in verse 26 that when the people came into the woods, there was the honey dripping. But no one put his hand to his mouth, for the people feared the oath. That is the curse that Saul had placed upon them. But listen, the Bible says, but Jonathan, verse 27, did not hear the vow of his father. He didn't know about it. So he stretched out the end of his rod and dipped it into the honey, and he ate of the honeycomb. And he was strengthened. It says his countenance was brightened. You know what that means? It means he got strength and energy. He was tired from the war, from battling. God provides the honey. Jonathan eats the honey. He's revived and strengthened, but he doesn't know about his father's stupid curse. Listen, when you're not a worshiper of God, you're going to act like Saul. You're going to respond emotionally. You're going to fly off the handle. You're going to make decisions without having thought about it or rehearsed it or whatever. You're just going to be a nut. Listen, we all can be prone to be a nut in this area, acting irrationally if we don't worship, if we're not walking with the Lord, if we don't see God great. We can, what we would call it, we would choke on the situation, panic. And so Saul is out of control. And so verses 25 down to verses 30 there's the great warning that they rehearse. Your father, Jonathan, has issued this decree that nobody eats. And it says in verse 32, and the people rushed onto the spoil of the enemy that took their sheep, their ox, and their calves, the slaughter that was upon the ground, and the people ate them with the blood. That's not a good thing, but they must have been starving to do such a thing. The Jews don't eat anything with blood in it. Then they told Saul, saying, look, the people are sinning against the Lord by eating with the blood. And he said, you have dealt treacherously. Roll a large stone to me this day. And Saul said, disperse yourselves among the people and say to them, bring me here every man's ox, every man's sheep. Slaughter them here and eat. Do not sin against the Lord by eating with the blood. Doesn't that sound like a God? I mean, that's the right thing to do. But look at Saul. Saul's saying, now let's do the godly thing here now. Calm down. Let's do it right. And it says in verse 35, this is tragic. Then Saul built an altar to the Lord. This was the first altar that he had built to the Lord. That's proof positive he was not a worshiper of God. The guy is already the king of Israel. He's already in position. And the scripture says, here's the problem. Finally, the guy builds an altar to the Lord. Finally, it's this first one. What example do we have of Abraham? Everywhere Abraham goes, he's building altars to God in honor and in worship. No, this is Saul's first altar. And you know what? It's too little, too late. for his heart is already going by the way of himself. And so the scripture says, verse 37, so Saul asked counsel of God, shall I go down after the flesh, Philistines? Will you deliver them into our hands? But God did not answer him that day. That is frightening and terrible. And Saul said, verse 38, come over here, all you chiefs of the people, and know and see what this sin was today. Listen to this. As the Lord lives, who saves Israel, though it be in Jonathan my son, he shall surely die. But not a man among all the people answered him. In other words, he's saying, remember this oath I made? Even if it's broken by my son, I don't care who broke it. Even if it's my son, he dies. Boy, is he going to find out something here in a moment. Then he said to all Israel, you be on one side and my son Jonathan, and I will be on the other side. And all the people said to Saul, do what seems good to you. Or we would say, whatever. Therefore, Saul said to the Lord God of Israel, give a perfect lot. They're going to, cast a lot and see if God would speak through the rolling of the dice, so to speak. So Saul and Jonathan were taken, but the people escaped. And Saul said, cast lots between my son Jonathan and me. So Jonathan was taken. Then Saul said to Jonathan, tell me, what have you done? And so Jonathan says, I ate some honey. I didn't know about this decree that you gave. And Saul says and answers to him, you shall surely die. This guy's out of control. From here on out, Saul, it's as though he's snapped. It's as he's crazy. The vow is more important than the life of his son? But listen, why does this happen? The kingdom was being stripped away, not by God himself, for God had promised already through Samuel, Saul, if you follow the Lord, you're going to be blessed. In fact, God had said, I'll establish the throne through you. That's a very significant word, because it is God saying to Saul, if you obey, the Messiah will come from you. He didn't obey. And the kingdom is being whittled away by who? Samuel? No. Jonathan? No. God? No. Saul is whittling away the kingdom from himself by being disobedient to God. No worship, no act of faith, panic, flesh in control, making rash vows. This man is purely emotionally led. And he's so now far gone on this, and watch, this is what manifests itself, and it's tragic. When a man gets this far from God, a horrible, horrible human fleshly attribute begins to arise. And it's vicious. It's murderous. And you know what it is? It's insecurity. Saul is becoming insecure. And he has good reason to be. And when a person is like Saul here, everybody is an enemy. Whatever that person is saying, it's a wrong thing to do. Whoever's got this idea or that, oh, that's a bad thing. Everything is abrasive. Everything is threatening. And this is a perfect, and you'll see it in the life of Saul. Saul will become very, very territorial in his rule, in his reign. He will have everyone suspect. Thus, you know the story where we'll get to Samuel, where what does he do with King David? He throws spears at him. He attacks him. And then the moment he attacks him and tries to kill him, then there's a change in his emotions, and he's trying to comfort David and tell him, he said, I love you so much. And then David turns around and Saul throws a spear at him again. He's going to go crazy. How does that happen? The flesh being in control. It's terrible. It'd torment a man. And it'd torment all those around that man. Crazy decisions. I don't care. What I've said, I've said. So insecure that that person could never say, well, you know what? I made a mistake. That was just, I shouldn't have said that. It's a big woman, a big man who can say, listen, I made a mistake on that one. That was the wrong call. Let's back up and redo it. It's an insecure, arrogant, and prideful person who says, you know what? What I've said, I have said. It's like they're the voice of God. Remember the Yul Brynner and King and I? So let it be written, so let it be done. What I've said is what I've said. It comes out, well, it must be written in stone. Out of control, the flesh. In verses 47 down to the end of the chapter, it speaks about the warfares that take place, and all these men's names are mentioned, which we don't need to go through because we'll never remember their names anyway. And there's fierce war. The Bible says, with Saul's enemies, all the days of his life, all the days of his reign, there was warring, the flesh, the Philistines, warring against the children of promise of the Spirit. It is believed that if Jonathan, or even Saul for that matter, would have just trusted God, if Saul would have trusted as Jonathan did, God was willing to wipe out the enemy completely. When Joshua crossed over with the children of Israel, didn't God say to them, go and attack these nations. I'm going to give them into your hands. And if Israel would have obeyed to the exact word of the Lord, they would have had a tremendous victory. Now, God knows all things, and God knows exactly, even to this moment of time in Israel, all the things that are taking place, God knew this before the world was created. Don't get me wrong. He knows everything, and he knew it before it was ever created. We can only speculate. What would have happened if Joshua and the descendants of Joshua would have carried out God's plan from the beginning? You know what? The writings that we have here in Samuel would have been altogether different. The flesh wouldn't have been left in the land. So why do you keep calling them flesh? Because Jonathan calls them uncircumcised. You guys, it's skin. I don't want to get too graphic here. There's some young eyes and ears around here. But it's dead skin. Has no feeling skin. It's dead. It's worthless. It's nothing but a problem. Needs to be removed. God says true worshipers of God have been circumcised in their hearts. What does that mean? The world has been taken out of our heart, and we've been given a new heart. And so we're sensitive and tender and open to the will of God and to the command of God. If that hasn't taken place, we are uncircumcised of heart, callous of hearts, and as it were a type, a Philistine of heart. And you think about today and all the stuff that's going on in the news, all the stuff that's going on in Israel. It's the children of promise. I don't care what you and I think about their policies. It doesn't matter what we think about Israel's actions. Did you know that? It's what God thinks about Israel. Okay, if you agree or disagree, it doesn't matter. The fact is they are the children of promise. God's not done with the nation of Israel. They're still his chosen people. He's not done with them. He's going to use them again. You've got the children of promise in a land that God said is theirs. But the flesh was there first, called the Philistines, which is the root word, Philistia, where we get the modern day word Phil or Palestinians. Truly, it's the root back to Philistia, the land of the Philistines. We say today, Philistia. Palestinians. And they're saying, hey, we were here before 1948. That's right, they were. The flesh is always born first. The flesh is always there first. Wasn't your flesh here first? My flesh showed up first. That's why Jesus said I had to be born again. I had to become a child of the promises of God. But you got to be born first in the flesh to be born again. And in this war, in this fighting in the Middle East, it will, as we mentioned last week, never be settled. It will never be settled. It cannot be settled. Because one group of people are of the promise of God. The other group of people are saying, we were here first. And in a way, both are right. But the spirit will and must yield. Or excuse me, the flesh must yield to the spirit eventually. There will not be peace in the Middle East until Jesus sits on the throne in Jerusalem. You understand that? There will be no peace in your life until Jesus sits on the throne of your heart. Your flesh is going to kick you all over this state and wherever else you may go until Jesus is enthroned in your heart. So, Jack, how does that happen? I mean, you talk about it as though it's real. It is real. And here's the amazing thing. Once that happens, once Christ is enthroned in your heart, by the way, it happens just as quick as Jonathan saying to his armor bearer, hey, let's go up. Come on. Happens that fast. You can say, Jesus, be enthroned in my heart. I repent of my old life. I want to give you my life now. Live through me, Lord. Have me experience that born-again relationship with you. Jesus is enthroned in your heart, and he begins to attack the flesh. That which is first has to die. It has to be crucified. As we're talking on Sunday, it's got to be put on the cross. Until we put things that God doesn't want us to have on the cross, we're going to have big troubles. See, we're going to have troubles in this world no matter what. But I tell you, for those, as we learn to walk in the Spirit rather than in the flesh, we'll have much less to contend with because God will be in control. He'll steer us out of trouble. And the troubles that do come to you, they're Father filtered. God sends them our way to strengthen us. What trial has entered in your life this week? What experience have you had to go through since last Wednesday night? Question, are you walking in the Spirit? Yes. Yes, I am. Jack, I'm walking in the Spirit. I love the Lord. I want to follow Him. Then the things that befell you this week were placed before you by the act of God's will. No matter what they may be. We got a call, I believe it was Thursday night. And the state of California is concerned about a 1,300 square foot, 1,300 square foot piece of dirt on the property. Well, wait a minute, why weren't you guys concerned about this 2 years ago? Well, listen, you guys know the timing, check it out. We're getting bulldozers ready to push that ground in a big way. Well, wait a minute, it's just a little piece of thing. Well, then the city says, wait, we can't stamp this until the state's off our back. Well, wait a minute, you got to stamp it. We got people ready to roll. Well, unless we find this piece of paper that's got this number on it, we can't do anything. Well, what's it look like? What's it look like? Well, it looks like this. So I hang up from the attorney, and we start tearing the offices apart looking for this thing. And the phone's just ringing constantly. Did you find it yet? No, I didn't find it yet. Okay. And then the phone ring again. Yeah, this is so-and-so from the county. What's it? Where, we need to have that thing. Okay, we're looking. We're looking. Okay, do you remember this guy's name? You met with him about, you know, 2 years ago. And he came in and, no, I don't remember his name. Well, look through the daytimers. Look through the Palm Pilots. Look through everything you got. And it's like a major, I mean, this place has been nuts this week here. It's been like a detective story. And it just, as soon as that, you see, this is not normal. It's not normal. This is, like Solomon said, this is one of those little foxes that begin to spoil the grapes, the vineyards. It's not like some bears attacking. This is a little goofy thing. And it's got, you know, people on the edge and people changing their trips. We've got people that are working on the project back east. We got, I got to come home now. I got to cut my trip short. We got to get back. We got to look at this thing. And so, wait. And I called Robin. I said, listen, get the prayer chain going now. Get the staff together. Bruce, pray with everybody. This is not normal. And as soon as you get away from that vacuum, that whirlpool of flesh that so subtly comes into our lives, you know how subtle it is? And you can hear this sucking sound. Say, wait, we gotta pray. Man, it's like, okay, that's right. He knows. This is a faith thing. And God's going to pull it through. He's going to do it. How do you know? I don't know. I just know that he's promised to complete that which he has begun. The flesh, though, will constantly try to challenge your faith. Saul's hiding underneath the tree with 600 men around him. Jonathan, with faith, launches out with an armor bearer. Saul's making lunatic demands and curses upon anyone who eats. What's Jonathan doing? Dipping his staff into the honey and eating of the fruit of the victory. The flesh is panicking and sweaty. And God says in Ezekiel, my priests, my people shall not sweat. Whenever you and I start to sweat, it's not God. Never. Peace, Jesus says, I leave with you. Not as the world give, but I give you my peace. A peace that passes all understanding. God's going to do it. He's so faithful, you know? Always faithful. Thus, we can carry out great exploits for him because he's faithful. And so because he's faithful, we worship him. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called Faith, Jonathan versus Saul. It's a look at 1 Samuel chapter 14, which really gives us a great lesson in having faith in the God of Israel, that he will do what he says he will. And we'll continue with more of this fascinating verse-by-verse journey through this Old Testament historical book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, I want to remind you about Pastor Jack's midweek study that airs every Wednesday night live on hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m. West Coast time. You know, we've got a few programs on hischannel.com. His channel is where you can watch Journey with Jack Hibbs, which airs different times during the week, Real Life with Jack Hibbs that airs every Monday night at 7 West Coast time, and Pastor Jack's midweek study live on Wednesday nights at 7:30. Those are all West Coast times. In fact, we have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in his word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.